Thank the light, everybody. I am Slipperton S. Slippy Esquire, and this is my hetero life mate.
Fatty the Chef, or Parched Eelman on the Bird app. Hello, friends.
Welcome to the source for your Wheel of Time information.
The truest of sources.
I have been dadding it up for the last week, so I have done very little Wheel of Timing. I've listened to a little bit more of the book, but thankfully, Fatty is... I always got to cut him off eventually. So he always shows up to the next episode ready to rock. And this one is no different. What you got?
Get ready, motherfuckers. Okay. So last week, if you do listen to us all the time, Desmond has another podcast called Time Pop. And he's like, you know, if we don't tie this Time Pop thing into Wheel of Time before it's over, I'm gonna freak out. Well, you know what? I figured it out. And we started talking about Balefire. Any fans of the series know what Balefire is about. I'm gonna give you a quick description, just like straight out of the Watt, you know, like wiki. And then we're gonna listen to a short clip. It's about 10 minutes. You can definitely cut that down, Des, if you need to. But it's just a little quick version of how powerful Balefire is. Why people are a little bit afraid of it, and you know.
So tell everyone exactly where it is in case they want the unabridged version.
So if you want the unabridged version, I'm in, the book is The Dragon Reborn. It's the beginning of chapter 55. It's like the first 10 minutes. The setup, while I'm finding the description for Balefire for you, is the dragon, Rand, has made it to the Stone of Tyr, which he's been dreaming about, which I think is why he's separating from them early. This is why I think this is where this season two could end or come close to, is there's a really important Saw-Angreal for men called Kalendor, and it's the sword that cannot be touched because only the dragon can draw it from its magic traps. And there is a Forsaken, his name is Belal, and he has been fucking with Rand's dreams, as well as basically Ishmael still, who Rand still thinks is Baal-Zamon, doesn't even really quite understand that he's Ishmael yet and not the Dark One. But they've been taunting him to, you got to go take this sword because no one else can take it. And the plan is for him to take it, and he's inexperienced. And as soon as he takes it, they're going to kill him and take it for themselves. So all that being said, chapter 55 in The Dragon Reborn, Rand is in the Stone of Tyr. There's a pretty large battle going on, and he's getting ready to walk up and take Kalendor.
So real quick. Oh, there it is. Okay. I was just trying to look up Balefire on the Wheel of Time wiki and couldn't find it.
Oh yeah. I need to give, I have the description for you. I'm going to do that before we go down the rabbit hole on that.
Balefire is a weapon of the One Power usable by both male and female channelers. Its widespread use during the War of Power began to cause the pattern to unravel, and it was subsequently banned from use by all wielders of the One Power.
Oh!
Effects. Typically, when struck with Balefire, the target's colors will reverse. A half-man will appear as white clothes on a black body instead of black clothes on a white body, and the object will fade away.
It began in the War of Power, and it started being used really widespread, and then they realized what it did to the pattern. When a target is struck with Balefire, it's destroyed in an amount of how much Balefire you use. So if you use a really big piece of it, it will burn its thread from the pattern further back. So in that sense, I think it's a little more butterfly effective than time travel-y, but you can get some of the same like benefits of, you know, there are people who get deaded out and then suddenly are alive again because the person who killed them got burned the fuck out. And one of the reasons why Balefire is a really big deal is because if you just kill a Forsaken, Dark One can just go snatch a soul, put him in another body, get back out there, buddy. And if you Balefire them, you destroy them.
Oh.
Even the Dark One cannot step out of time and save someone from Balefire.
Ooh.
That's one of the reasons why the good guys really want to use it. The bad guys aren't afraid to use it, but they're like, if we use it too much, it's going to just destroy what we're trying to take over. So there is something that if you were to destroy a bunch of people in it or a bunch of Trollocs or, you know, in one fell swoop, there's something called a Bale Scream. It's almost described as like a ripping or tearing of like denim or higher pitch, but sort of like that, because there's so many, the pattern's trying to correct this giant hole that just got ripped in it. So Balefire is something that is very, 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 very cool and very dangerous. And here is a cool example of it being used just real quick by somebody to destroy somebody. Are we ready?
Yeah, let's light this candle.
I just see you reading with your mouth open like, oh my God.
I already have a whole nother tangent I'm ready to go on, and I'm trying to bite my tongue. Well,
so just, okay, let's listen to the clip and then we'll dive in.
Yes.
I knew I could get you fired up for it. Yes. You're like, dude, I got nothing this week. I'm getting dad fucked. I'm like, bro, I have got you. I'm going to get, I got a few things that just like, you're going to touch your tongue to the milk like a little kitten and then just lap up the whole bowl. All right. If you're ready, here we go. Like I said, Stone of Tyr.
I got to focus.
There's a battle going around. Rand is getting ready to get the guts up to go take Kalendor. Moraine is there with him. She can still channel at this point. And Belal, who is a Forsaken, is goading him into taking it. So here we go.
What is written in prophecy? Rand entered the chamber slowly. He stepped out beneath a great dome and saw what he sought. Kalendor. If I am the Dragon Reborn, if I am not just some half-mad man cursed with the ability to channel, take it, Luz Theron. Take it.
The Forsaken are already calling him Luz Theron to his face.
He spun to face the voice. Rand had no idea who he was, but he had seen him in his dreams.
You won't need to get to know him.
You put them in a cage, he said. Egwene and Nynaeve and Elaine. In my dreams, I mean to use them more, Kinslayer. Call me Belal. Take it! Belal snapped.
He wants him to take it because he can't. Rand. It's like a glittering crystal sword, but it's like, it's a very powerful saw angry all. Like it will, you know, like Rand's already so powerful, it'll make him four times as powerful. This dude knows that Rand, raw power, can just pretty much fuck him up, but he's untrained still. So he's thinking if he can get him to take it now and then just kill him real quick, then Kalendor is his and he can challenge anyone because he'll be easily as strong as even the strongest. This guy's one of them kind of fair to middle and forsaken. And so if he gets this, he shoots up the ranks pretty quickly. So he's really just trying to goad Rand.
Countryman. Perhaps it will be enough to help you survive.
Rand's me. That fucking Y kid. Rand, yeah, I'll take it. But why do you want me to take it so bad?
Fight me so easily, why do you care? Take Kalendor. 3,000 years while I lay imprisoned, it has waited there for you. One of the most powerful Song Greal we ever made. The Forsaken laughed, amused, swinging his blade in quick flourishes to either side of him. This time, you have not learned enough. This time, Luz Theron, I will kill you. Belal's mockery deepened. Perhaps if you take Kalendor, you might extend your life a little longer. A little longer. But the doubts were still strong in Rand. Kalendor could only be touched by the Dragon Reborn. But was he truly the Dragon Reborn? If he raced to touch Kalendor in truth, not in a dream, would his hand meet an invisible wall?
Yeah, this is like one of the, he's already done some stuff to prove himself the dragon, but like this is the big one. Like if he takes this, the world won't deny it anymore. They can't.
And was driven back.
Everybody knows this prophecy.
The falling leaf met watered silk. The cat dances on the wall, met the boar rushes downhill.
What happens if he's not the chosen one? Does he die when he touches it?
Just can't get it, and then that Forsaken will probably murder him.
Rolling to his feet to confront the stone falls.
Just means he's not the dragon.
Belal raised his blade of black fire, snarling, take it! Take Kalendor and defend yourself! Take it or I will kill you now! If you will not take it, I will slay you! No! Even Belal gave a start at the command in that woman's voice.
Woman?
The Forsaken stepped back out of the arc of Rand's sword and turned his head to frown at Moraine as she came striding through the battle, her eyes fixed on him, ignoring the screaming deaths around her.
She's so gangster.
Moraine had not stopped or slowed while he spoke. She was no more than 30 paces from him when he moved his hand, and she raised both of hers as well. There was an instant of surprise in the Forsaken's face, and he had time to scream, no! Then a bar of white flame, hotter than the sun, shot from the Aes Sedai's hands, a glaring rod that banished all shadows. Before it, Belal became a shape of shimmering motes, specks dancing in the light for less than a heartbeat, flecks consumed before his cry faded. There was silence in the chamber as that bar of light vanished. Silence except for the moans of the wounded.
What do you think of that shit?
Holy sh!
So that's your first example of Balefire. That dude's gone forever. What do you think, man? Moraine just walks out. He's like, you're nothing. And she's just like, for reals? Zap.
Holy.
And she Balefired him. He's gone.
I imagined it.
Kind of does like a little reversal negative and then just dust motes.
because I imagined it since it did so much weaving, since it did so much unweaving, I imagined it not being able to be targeted so well. I imagine, like,
no, it's pretty fucking scopey. Once you learn how to use it, and you got to be pretty strong to even make the weave. Like, Moraine, the biggest she can make is like the size of your finger, and like she's pretty strong. But Rand at one point makes one with Kalendor that's like, I don't know, like the size of a house wide or something like that, dude. And like, you know, he mostly can, unaided, can make one like the size, like as wide as a person, which would like, you know, burn a couple of hours out of the person's, what they've done in the pattern.
Wow.
Which you will see. There's a point, dies like 5 times. I don't know, not 5 times, but he dies several times. And one of the times, twice is saved by bale firing something. And one time he's fully dead. And other time he's just, it kind of reverses something that kind of happened to him. But yeah, it's legit. So that's the closest thing I think you'll get to actual time travel, but it's got its own kind of, not physics, but laws, rules, I don't know.
If you're undoing death, especially that way, it's not like he's casting a spell on to bring him back. He's casting a spell on the universe.
Yeah, it's not. You're not necromancing or anything like that. It's exactly, dude. But there's some things like there's these things that are called dark hounds, and like one of the only ways to kill them is with balefire, which isn't so bad because they're shadow spawn. But it's like, you know, every time that you kill something that has already killed something, then that something comes back to life. It, you know, it's like, but like I said, more butterfly effect. Like it has ramifications, and the whole bale scream was something that I had just read today or the other day after we talked. And when you take enough lives in one shot of balefire, it's like reality almost warps around you, and you just, it's like, you can hear the world just kind of strain.
If someone kills, you have to balefire the person who killed, and then that undoes.
Whole,
depending on how long, but you got, it's a small, it's like that fucking stupid deja vu movie. You got a small window of time because you got to have a big enough chunk of, if you killed them 6 months ago, I don't think there's a big enough shot of balefire to undo that. You know what I mean? But if it was a few minutes, zap, you know what I mean? It changes a lot.
Or if your balefire isn't direct enough, 10 people you don't want coming back to life come back to life too.
Right, yeah, you might take out the person you want to get someone, but and that's why I think that he wrote it that way, so you can never really use it strategically.
Yeah.
Oh, this person's dead, I'm going to fix this. It's more like the one way it's used strategically, it's like, okay, I've already fucking killed you once, and the fucking Dark One brought you back, and I want you to fucking stay dead, motherfucker. And then at one time, you know, it's like, it's kind of out of like, you know, it's an Anakin moment where it's just like, I hate you, you took everyone I love, and he just,
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, is it worth it? Is it worth it to bring my wife back if it's also going to raise 50 of my enemies?
Exactly. And like in the last battle, so much balefire starts getting thrown away, like the earth starts to crack and like just darkness comes out of it. And like, you're like, I don't think I'm going to step over that because I'm probably going to just be dead. So yeah, and that's balefire.
Oh my God, I'm so... So let me stay on this just a little bit because that's what led me down my little rabbit hole a minute ago. As I was reading the effects of balefire, I was like, oh my God, I want to play a Wheel of Time role-playing game. Like, I want to...
Where I can throw out balefire. And I think there is balefire in the game. I'm not sure, but I think there is. Apparently, one of the only things that can deflect it is Quendiar, which is the Heartstone that they talk about. That I did not know.
And that's why I keep on wanting to get into D&D. It's hard to find a group that isn't so far ahead of you, you annoy them. But then if you also get a bunch of noobs, then you don't know what the fuck you're doing. So it's just like, fuck.
Yeah, then dude spent so long on his dungeon that you can't even play. Like, we can never make it through.
Yeah. And
we're all dead.
So is what I did. So I bought a character creator years ago because I was hoping to join some friends. Actually, Scott and Ari, if y'all listen to Time Pop out there, Scott and Ari are in a D&D group. If I forced my way in, I think they'd be happy to let me in. But it just hasn't been an easy slide in. But I did get, I just ran into a starter set at Target because I think I want to start playing with Cormac. Just because what I like about, I always kind of liked the idea of D&D, but what finally made me like, I really want to play this is I was playing like D&D Lite, this game called Munchkin. And it's really cool because Munchkin seems like it's all spelled out for you and you just read the card and do it.
Right.
But then if you play it a lot, you'd have to start getting in those conversations where, like, you know, you do something and the dungeon master says you're dead and you're like, no, because my helmet is made of this armor and your sword. And I like getting in those conversations. And then that's when I realized, like, I want to get into deeper conversations like this. And that's where, like, if you knew what you were doing, whether Balefire is in the starter kit or not, you could build your own Wheel of Time game and add it in.
I believe there is a Wheel of Time card game.
There's a card game, but what I want to do is to utilize my D&D stuff that I already have. Is they do have a version of the Wheel and Tithe role-playing game based on the D&D game set.
Those characters or whatever, that's what's...
And,
see, I never played that much D&D since I was a little kid. I played it, I had one friend that did it, and then, like, I started to play, like, games like Bard's Tale and shit, which were, like, the first role-playing games, and... That was so much funner than me than having to just sit and fucking read as a little kid, because I can now, but, you know, just imagine me ADD and also a hyperactive child with no marijuana, none, zero. And it's not fun. And I lived in the country, you know, so I was just like, no.
But what I would have done, though, I think I would have maybe led the charge had I known, because I thought it was D&D or bust. In the 90s, at least, by then, they were making, like, sci-fi versions of D&D. And, like...
By the 90s, there was weed and girls.
That's true.
And cars, you know, and football games. And
But I would have got a bunch of friends together, got some weed and some booze, and played laser beam battle role playing game.
So, like, Balefire, like, you know, like you were saying, man, dad stuff, it gets to you sometimes and you get out of energy. And I'm like, no, dude, I know you're going to be stoked on the Balefire. And that's just a good clip because, you know, it's really Rand coming into his own. He's like, nope, I don't fucking need that to beat you. I don't trust you. You got tricksies. I don't like it. And Moraine's just like, you know, you're not good enough to beat him yet. And she just kind of fucking like sneaks up. She fucking snipes him and no scopes him. Just walks up. Is like, hey, he's like, you're nothing. She's like, well, Balefire. Boom, you're done. Like, he, by the time he realizes what she's doing, he's like, no. And he's gone.
That was an amazing, with the Matt thing we played last week and then that this week, like, those are perfect. Those are both, like, different characters coming of age. So I have a noob question. I've probably asked this before. Was Luz Theron the first dragon or just the most popular? Why do people keep, because no one, okay, real quick, just a quick follow-up question. Does anyone else call anyone else by a previous life's name? Is that a thing in this universe?
As far as I know right now, and I just real quick, I don't know if you can see this.
Oh,
just got this.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Really? Now, do you see the side view?
Oh,
this is the glossary of every single character.
Is this the new one or did you get it?
No, this is an older one. But this is like, okay, Old Hob, a name for the Dark One. This is like the glossary of Wheel of Time.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I can't. This is like a more practical kind of companion novel. I'm going to run through this. I'm going to run through this first, and then I'm going to fucking mail it to you, I think.
Yeah.
Because this is something I think that will... First of all, I think it'll help you lay out the world a little bit more. So once they start to travel around, you get a little bit more. You're like, oh, okay. It gives a little perspective. And also, it's like it covers the breaking. It covers the Hundred Years' War after the breaking. And it gives you a brief-ish. It's not brief because it's not super thin. But
yeah,
it's a brief history on, you know, on the world. And it's more about the people and the world itself. It doesn't really get into the power. And it's actually got some really beautiful pictures of the book covers.
So real quick, people, Justin held up a companion book and then he held up the world of Wheel of Time. And so the world of Wheel of Time, is it more of a...
The skinnier one is... It's more of a... it really goes through what are Drakkar. And it's like, you know, What are Trollocs? You know, what did the nations look like after the Hundred Years' War? You know, what are the current nations?
Is that all canon, or is some of that?
Yes, this is all book canon.
Okay.
And so I honestly think that some of the broader strokes that they're going to paint from this world are going to come directly out of this. And it's got like kind of like drawings of the characters, like kind of original.
Oh.
Of what they were kind of like wanted to be described as. So, no, they both look really good, and I thought I couldn't possibly be more nerded out and excited and, like, to learn more, but it's, like, it is some stuff already that I'm just like, ah, man, cooler descriptions than I'm, you know, you get stuff, you get immersed in the book, or you get immersed and listen to it, and you're hearing a description of something, but it's also in the middle of a scene. So you kind of, to get just the description of the Eyeless, or just the description of the Trolloc and kind of how they were made and all that is something I'm kind of excited to do.
That is awesome. Because I've been, you know, it's not like I sit quietly and listen to the book, you know. I try to not be too busy, but I'm driving around, I'm doing stuff, and like,
I think you're like me. You do it, you listen to it 5 times because you're doing shit.
Yeah, I'll find out exactly what chapter I'm in.
It's kind of how it sinks in.
I'm not too far ahead of where I was. Chapter 11, The Road to Tar and Ferry. Oh, they're on the road to Tar and Ferry. Okay. But they keep on jumping kind of in and out of dreams. And so when I'm not listening like super closely, I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Wait, what? What's happening?
Yeah. Like, yeah. So I'm a little...
Wait, whose dream is this?
Confused right now. You know, I think the whole...
A little bit of... Oh, God, never mind. You're not reading it. Never mind.
Yeah.
I was going to say a little bit of a giveaway sometimes, because they don't always like make it clear who the point of view is from, is the kind of header will be like a wolf. So, you know, it's Perrin, or Dice. So, you know, it's Matt, or someone who's tied to Matt or whatever, but you're not.
Yeah, this is the one time I wish I say a better reader, because that's the biggest problem. Like, if I fucking read this, I wouldn't finish it by the time season 2 started. Like, no matter how much I loved it, I'm just such a shitty, slow reader. And the time, too. Like, this I can do while I'm doing dishes.
Well, and what's funny, man, is I think if you, another fucking, like, 5 chapters or so into this book, and you're going to start going, fuck, I should have went to bed 2 hours ago. Yeah. Why am I still sitting up fucking dicking around in the kitchen cleaning or playing video games or doing whatever and listening to this? I should be doing shit, you know. And dude, and honestly, it's, to me, it's that way definitely all the way through book 3. Book 4 has got some slower moments, but fucking when it's not, it's amazing, and the moments are huge in the 4th book and the 5th book. The Shadow Rising and the Fires of Heaven are 2 really big books. Segue. That's where I'm really gonna be. You know, like, I got Galad and Gawain, they gotta be coming pretty soon. I'm thinking that Matt's just gonna kind of run into them after he gets, because he's still in Tar Valon. So I'm thinking somehow the dagger's gonna get back there. Like, they're just, because since they skipped Camlann altogether in the show, I'm guessing that somehow that's where we're going to, I think that's how those characters will get introduced.
Is there a reason for Pot on Fane to go back to Tavirin? No, not Tavirin.
Tar Valon. See, I don't think so. Unless he's going to take that shit back to Liandrin.
Because he has the dagger, right?
He's got the dagger. They've got the horn. So if they're going to take that back to Liandrin, then that's the only reason why I would think that.
Is there any chance that Pot on Fane is the Lorraine, the Red Aes Sedai? Who's the Red Aes Sedai that more...
Liandrin. That's what I'm saying. Maybe he's the man that she meets in North Harbor.
Okay.
And maybe he's bringing it back to her. But, you know, he, at this point, at least in the books, like, he is like the Dark One's own personal fucking pet, because he's kind of just been passed up the chain. Because he's really good at being a kind of little shitbag spy. And he just kind of gets passed around, and he gets stuff done to him in the swearing of his oaths to the Dark One that make him really something more. And then once he gets the dagger, he gets possessed like Matt, but he's also a fucking shitty person. So that becoming with him already being shitty kind of makes him, he becomes this kind of monster of his own that even the Forsaken are a little bit afraid of. So I guess let's, you know, like I said, you know, there's just so many new characters that are coming up. My fun part, I think, is going to be seeing how they come up. I don't see how we get out of season one without seeing some Balefire. I think Rand does Balefire. There's somebody, I think, maybe that does some Balefire, maybe even by accident at some point in Eye of the World. Maybe not until book two. I think Rand busts it out. And like Rand doesn't even know what he's fucking doing. He's just like, I don't know. That's how I made it go away. I don't know what I did. At a certain point, Rand starts hearing a voice, and then he realizes it's actually Luz Theron. He's not mad. It's Luz Theron, and he has this constant battle for his, I don't want to say soul, it's more personality-wise, because it's like, it gets to a point where every time he tries to channel, Luz Theron tries to snatch the control of the power from him. And it's like this real internal battle. But also, it's like he learns that way too, because Luz, that's how you know that it's actually Luz Theron, because he has the knowledge of all this shit that Rand should not know how to do.
So is the dragon's last two incarnations Luz and Rand? Or was he just some insignificant fuck for the last 1,000 years and no one picked up on it? And he just lived and died.
See, I that's one of the reasons why I got these kind of companion ones. Because as far as I read things, is that Luz Theron was the dragon. He was not a dragon reborn, or at least that wasn't what they called him before. It's almost like Luz Theron is almost like God, like the creator. He is like the champion of the light. And so that's the best way to describe him. But there was no need for that champion of the light before the Dark One was discovered. And so, like, in that clip we listened to, Belial's like, do you remember the sport of swords that we turned into a killing art or something like that? And that's why they're both blade masters. And it's like, because they had no need for that shit. There was no war. And then they drilled into the Dark One's prison and found out this power, and it started to corrupt a certain amount of people.
So the wheel weaves as the wheel needs. So there was no need for the dragon until 20 years ago when Rand was born.
And it sounds like Ishmael, from what he says in the book, and you tell me, that's why, you know, I'm anxious for you to finish the Eye of the World, because one of their kind of conversations in the end is, he's like, you know, we've had this battle 1,000 times 1,000. Well, it's like, okay, does that mean that you have done this battle and there was previous Luz Therons that wasn't a dragon and wasn't anything like that, wasn't called Kinslayer? Or does that mean that he has only reached the height of his dragonness twice?
Oh.
Or, you know, a couple of times, because Luz Theron and then now Randall Thor, because, you know, he doesn't remember living other lives and dying as a shepherd or a random guy. Segue.
Yeah.
Episode one, you told me, I think last week, was like A Taste of Solitude. So that's a chapter in book six.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I can't even tell you what it means off the top of my head. Like, it's like, you know, I'm like trying to think of what's going on at that point in the book. You know, I'm just like, wow. What? Yeah, it's chapter 18 in The Lord of Chaos, which I believe is book six. And it's when he goes back to a city called Carheen to, dude, I know what they're going to do. So check this out. Rand gets, at a certain point, Rand realizes how much knowledge has been lost. And part of it is because he's hearing Luz Theron in his head. And he also starts to dig into whatever city he's in. He starts digging into their libraries. Any spare time he has, he's reading, you know, he's researching. And there's a guy whose name is Herod Fell, who's a historian and a philosopher, who's a little crazy, but very smart. And it's how Rand figures out how to do some really important shit. And so I'm thinking that he's going to somehow end up in Carheen, quickly, and run into this guy. And Rand actually ends up starting like a library.
You know, these episodes are kind of taking shape. Like I said, just talking to the fans right now, like, yeah, we're still just kind of like, blah, holy crap. There's so much stuff, but we will, you know, I think as the summer goes on, these will start taking shape, and we'll kind of touch on the same things every week. But this is just a great time, you know, for Fatty to think about what he's hoping might happen and me to comment on it. And I will start to learn more as I read and watch and learn more. I'll come with more questions. And so we'll do what makes this podcast great, where Fatty's coming with 15 books plus the companion and all the conversations he's having with amazing knowledge. And I'm coming from the other end just going like, wait, what's a Tarangriel? See, I didn't even say that right. Hopefully the people, the newbies won't feel lost with Fatty talking, and hopefully the super fans won't get annoyed with my dumb questions, and we'll try to find the middle ground. And if you have anything we want to talk about from whatever side you're coming from or right down the middle, please, again, write into thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. Anything you want to talk about. If you got any serious subjects, we might even just have to get you on the show so we can hash it out. That's not a problem. We're already on Zoom. So, you know, I'll figure out what the fuck's going on with my connection this week. We'll get that fixed. We'll get you on the show. And then, of course, you can always have a back and forth with Wolf Brothers @ParchedEyeAleman. That is @ParchedEyeAleman on Twitter. And Fatty is most likely going to be the person you bump into on there.
Most likely. I try to check it, you know, at least once a day. Sometimes I'm off for a couple of days, depending on what's going on. That's it, man.
Yeah, I just love it. All right, I'm going to get the hell out of here.
Squip that dibbly doo. And on that note,
bye, Fatty.
I'll talk to you later, brother. Good night.
Love you.
Which input am I supposed to be on for one person? Just the single circle or the double circle?
Oh, the penis.
Oh, it looks like the wiener?
The penis.
Okay, let's see.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
If anyone's actually listening to this, I wish you could see that, because that was pretty fun. I'm really dumb.